So as we start our sit, you know, whatever, however you can find that sense of joy in body, mind, and heart, that's what we're going for. And if you need to stand up and stretch, feel free to. We're going to have about a 20-minute sit. I love ringing the bell once to start a sit. There's something about the sound of the bell that just says, oh, quiet, settle in, arrive. So I'm going to do one at the beginning. So once again, we arrive for our meditation and with the intention to settle and quiet the mind and body, relax. And I invite you to follow what works for you. I'm going to share some guidance, but if possible and if you want to, just let my words be in the background. Whatever works for you, do that. It's all about taking care of ourselves today. It's part of that sending metta to ourselves. Sitting together in quiet and in Sangha. I invite you to bring into your mind a moment of your own joy, your own well-being. It can be just a little joy or a big joy. Perhaps a really sweet conversation you recently had. A moment savoring the beauty of nature, perhaps a moment of awe, an expression of caring you received, or a sense of accomplishment at work. Whatever it might be is just fine. We're not jumping into the deep end of the pool. We're just starting. Just these sweet moments of joy. The other day on a walk, I was next to these three trees. One was bright purple, one was brilliant white, and the other a deep, deep green. And they, both their individual beauty and the collective beauty and the contrast, gave me such a moment of appreciation for the beauty of nature. So letting this image of joy, this experience of it in body and mind and heart, let it just fill you. Can you even feel perhaps an inner smile arising? Notice how an image and sense of joy feeds the sense of relaxation in the body as well. The heart is soft. The mind is quiet. Spending some time in this lovely state of joy and contentment. If other thoughts arise, as they will, that's okay. Just see if you can let them go or let them take a back seat or just allow them to hang out, knowing that this sense of joy, this memory of happiness, that's what's really filling the space of heart, mind, and body. With this sense of joy in our hearts and minds, perhaps bring back that person that you sent metta to earlier this morning. That someone who is so easy to send metta to, a family member, a child, a pet, a benefactor, someone really easy, a beloved niece or nephew, a teacher. And visualize this person. See if you can, if you know when they have felt great joy. Maybe they got accepted to school or got the job they wanted. They bought a house, their poem was published, or they just came back from a great trip. They went sea kayaking or just hung out at the beach. Maybe they learned a musical instrument and are showing off their new talent. Perhaps if you can even imagine their voice telling you of the event that made them so happy. However you can access that feeling inside of you. Seeing them in your minds. Feel what that caring for them feels like in your mind and body. And as this person stays in the foreground, perhaps offering them a phrase or two. How wonderful you are in your being. I delight that you are in my life. I take joy in your good fortune and happiness. How wonderful you are in your being. I delight that you are in my life. I take joy in your good fortune and happiness. I'm happy that you're happy. May your happiness and good fortune continue. I'm happy that you're happy. But sometimes the ones we love also annoy us. So the mind might be generating some other thoughts, some resistance or some memory where the relationship wasn't quite so smooth. No problem. Just feel it's the mind's resistance. It's the full blossom of the relationship. Can you bring an attitude of kindness and friendliness to that resistance? No need to analyze it. Just offer it a place here too. The resistance, the hesitancy, it can stay, but my joy for this person, my joy for this loved one is here too. It's both and. One doesn't eliminate the other. I'm happy that you're happy. How wonderful you are in your being. I'm so grateful that you're in my life. I delight in it. If you want, you know, continue to stay with that person. Perhaps you would like to move on to someone else, maybe a neutral person. I don't know if we really have time for ones that are really more complicated or difficult, but you decide. If you've brought up a second person, for this one too, I take joy in your good fortune. May your happiness continue. How wonderful you are in your being. If this works for you, I like this image of the heart being the ocean. And the resistance or the hesitancy is just a wave. Remember that we're hanging out in the ocean. We allow the waves, but we're held by the ocean. We watch the water flow by, the envy, the judging, the resistance, the sense of a small self, but we don't need to get caught in the current. We acknowledge the wave, but stay with the ocean. Just like with compassion, we open our hearts and sometimes we close them. A heart opens and closes, it ebbs and flows. We don't need to make a story about either one. It's just the natural way of being in this human body. But the Brahmaviharas, all of them, provide a place where the mind is safe. We bring metta, that friendliness, to the mind, to the heart, and we bring it to any resistance, any small, whiny self. All of it. The mind is safe. We come back to where we started, cultivating joy. Feel that gladdened heart. Feel that gladdened mind, safe, quiet, joyful. In the last minute of our sit, just take a moment to really feel what this has felt like to spend time filling one's mind and heart and body with a sense of joy. That felt good to me just saying the words. I hope it felt good to you doing it. So I want to spend the last 10 minutes or so just offering you some thoughts about how to take mudita back home with you as part of your heart practices. I don't know where I got this inclination, this characteristic, but I have a really easy time accessing joy. I tend to be an incredibly optimistic, sometimes delusionally optimistic person. I don't know where it how it happened. My brother and I have talked about it because it wasn't who our mother was. But for those of you for whom that may not be the case, sometimes we need to come up with some other things that are going to make it a little easier to access our own joy so that then we can find a space to really celebrate the joy in others. I think the first thing is really making time every day for the things that bring you joy. Little things. Talk to that crow that greets you every morning, or Lauren listening to the birds, or me with a little those strings from the cucumber, playing music, or spending time with little kids, or you know whatever it is. And don't make that only a special thing. Really make them part of a day. You know, it's like for most of us, we have a meditation practice more or less daily. You might have a daily couple minutes of joy, just even bringing to mind what are those activities, what are those images, what are those things in life that soften and gladden the heart. Make a real note of that and feel it. And once you've done that, to really allow it to permeate the body. Sometimes I have this beautiful garden. It's also challenging. It's not always beautiful. But often when I'm out there, and especially this time of year, and there's all these buds, and everything is just like, I want to live, and I want to grow. It's just like talking to me. I actually get kind of goosebumps being out there. So I don't know what kind of bodily experience people have from joy, but they're there, and explore it. Figure that, you know, see what works for you. As we said at the very beginning, metta is the ground of the heart practices. So make sure you have an active metta practice. Just taking a walk down the street. You know, nobody else is in here but you. So it might feel, you know, corny or goofy or airy-fairy or whatever the negative word you use. But walking down the street and wishing people well, you know, is that kind of softening that we can do. I think another, and I don't know if this is true for anybody, but there are times in one's life when we kind of question whether we even deserve to be happy. You know, maybe you're in a real self-negative place. And affirming that you do deserve to be happy, Sharon Salzberg says that it builds a kind of confidence. And from that confidence, it's easier for us to also delight in the happiness of others. Examine your belief about whether joy is scarcer or abundant. There's not a right or wrong belief. It's what Jerry was talking about with mindfulness. We're so encouraged to know what's happening in here. Know it, examine it, investigate. Is this belief, does it lead to more happiness? Does it lead to more suffering? Is it for my benefit, the benefit of others, and does it lead to peace? Or maybe not so much. It's all that juicy stuff that we do in our Dharma practice. In addition to softening and gladdening the heart, I think mudita and all of the Brahmaviharas also gladden the mind. You know, we have such a human tendency to focus on what's wrong. I think there's been all these studies that have been done that say that that's what we generally do. But when we look at what's right in our lives, look at the things that you've done that are helpful, the service you've provided, the note you sent to somebody acknowledging them and thanking them, all the lovely things that we do to acknowledge the good that we perform in the world. Sometimes little bitty, but all of it matters. I think Lauren said at the very beginning that, you know, love as a word is challenging for a lot of people. It's kind of like God. You know, everybody goes, ooh, I got to redefine it, and, you know, I have to make my peace with it. And maybe that's true for love for you as well. But for those of us who are grateful and lucky enough to have love relationships, really celebrate them. And if you have to search some, that's okay too. Make it a practice. You know, love the trees that surround you. Love the birds that sing in the morning, or the blue sky, or the cloud-filled sky, or the raining sky. I love the rain because I'm a Seattleite, and that's why it's so green here. But whatever prompts that feeling of love inside of you, feed it, nourish it. I think when we truly want and cultivate that sense of happiness and joy in our own lives, it makes it way easier to have that space to celebrate the joy in others' lives. Remember what I said at the very beginning this morning of Jill Shepherd's Four Faces of Love, that mudita is the love that celebrates? What a great word, celebrate. You know, what are the things that you want to celebrate? I recently celebrated a very big birthday, and what a fun time. I kept on having these little birthday events with people and went back to Michigan and was celebrated there. You know, and it's not as if celebrations are only fabulous, because sometimes, you know, there's all of what else, everything of life shows up. But we have this capacity, and it's right there. That joy really is right there. And I think it requires us doing our Dharma practice so we also feel the dukkha of when it isn't there, when the annoyance, the care, the comparing, the judging, the envy, the small self, when all of the dukkha is there. But when we see it, I mean, that's the brilliance of the Buddha, is when we actually see the dukkha and experience it and know it for ourselves, it opens up doors, you know, because then the joy is there. Oh, yeah, there's some dukkha. Oh, yeah, I love my brother and I hate how he talks to me sometimes. Okay, both and, you know, but the love was right there. So mudita is the love that celebrates. I have to say I've had a really good time thinking about mudita.